good morning.
Hey, Scott, can you open the top in prayer, please?
Oh, sure.
Thank you, man.
Father, God, just thank you so much here for today. They're able to just be in fellowship with you and with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are so grateful for the Normans opening up their home for us, Father. They're not here, and that's really shows how powerful our relationships are, Father, that people are so trustful in this world that we live in today, Father. I pray, God, just for the lesson today. I pray that you give Todd the power to speak powerfully, Father. I pray that we learn from the lesson, God, that we walk away with just a little bit of knowledge, Father, to help us through the week. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. This was, it's going to be a little bit of an interactive lesson. Have to switch it up a little bit. My wife, who is not here, she's not feeling well, was going to be a part of it, so I'm going to play her part.
Okay.
Probably not in the same voice, but, so everybody can turn their Bible or their phone to Ezra 4. And I'll go ahead and start. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of the king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, "You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." First question, why would, in Ezra 3:3, it talks about Israel being afraid of the peoples around them. They considered them as enemies. So why do you think that people that they considered enemies would come and volunteer to help build the temple?
To sabotage it, maybe?
Yeah. Alternative motives.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I had down. So, yeah, it's most likely to sabotage it. And then we will read verse 4. That came out to be, "Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia." So yeah, they were thinking that that was a way that they could, sabotage, slow it down, maybe stop it completely. Mm-hmm. You know, they were true enemies of God's people. And then, today, what are the three enemies that Christians have today?
Oh, boy. Got more than three.
Well, in broad
the
strokes.
The flesh.
The flesh.
Okay.
The enemy, Satan.
Satan.
And the world.
Perfect. Those are the three enemies. Now, that encompasses a lot within each of them.
Right.
But that is pretty much describes everything. If it's not from God, it's not from the Bible, it's potentially an enemy.
Right.
And in Micah 7:6, describes the state of societal breakdown within families. And verse says, "For the son dishonors the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies are the members of one's own household." So even within families, we can have enemies.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
My first marriage, did not work out. Mm-hmm. Even after, I married the same woman twice. She divorced me when I became a disciple. I got her to come to Bible studies and everything, and my co-worker studied the Bible with her.
Wow.
We baptized her.
Oh, wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, and then we started to date. I didn't even hold her hand, because even though we'd been married, didn't hold her hand because, I wanted to do it the right way. So we eventually got remarried, And pretty soon, you know, Satan sat in, and she is, as far as I know, she's not a disciple any longer. And she divorced me for the second time.
Uh-huh.
So it's so the struggles within those families are real.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there are probably people in here that have come from broken homes or discordant homes. And, you know, it's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And think about all the temptations that the world has. You know, everything about the world, you know, Satan is very powerful. Everything in the world is trying to do to us what those folks did, tried to do to Israel. Take them off track,
right,
you know,
right.
Destroy their faith.
Yep.
You know, stop them from worshiping God. And who here doesn't face any temptations?
I'm still living.
Yeah. Because one of the articles I read this morning, here's a quote from it. It says, "Now, remember this. Temptation of the devil is not a sign that your life is not right with God. It is actually a sign that you are right with God."
Yeah. Okay.
Because think about it. Satan is powerful, but he is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be everywhere. So if there's some people who are as Christians who aren't right with God, why would he bother attacking them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to go after the people that are, you know, really, really working on their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, so that could be me, that could be any of us, or if I'm going along oblivious, you know, not having a care in the world, thinking, man, my life is really good right now, nothing bad is happening, that probably means I'm not where I should be as far as my relationship with God. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, one of the things that Delisa was going to help me with is this. I'm going to talk about a persistent problem that Delisa and I have.
Okay.
And it's more, this one is more me. As most of you know, I have my own business. And that business just tears the house up. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first got here, we wanted to be really hospitable, have people over and everything. You know, kind of like this right here, or kind of
right.
Like you folks, you know, you're always having people over. But it is an absolute mess because of all my merchandise. And it starts off really, you know, I'll get it cleaned up, and then it will just start very innocently. I'll bring a tub of stuff in, and then, you know, I'll make a discovery, and I'll bring more tubs in, or I'll buy some more stuff, bring them in. And pretty soon, you know, we can't walk.
Right.
And that has been an ongoing problem ever since I opened up this business like 10 years ago. And it is something that has created a lot of strife between Delisa and I. And that is just absolutely on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I somehow, I think it's my pride. You know, pride is definitely an enemy of God.
Yeah. Okay.
And I need to somehow, you know, put her needs above my own. I'm thinking a one-story house would help tremendously because I hate carrying stuff up and down the stairs all the time. And then Delisa gave me permission to talk about something that caused strife earlier in our marriage. We'd be getting ready to go to church, for example. You know, LA takes a long time to get wherever you're going. And we'd be going out the door, and then she would go, "Oh, I've got to put the laundry away."
Mm-hmm.
Or, "I've got to put the wash in the dryer." Or, let me load the washing machine up. I mean, and it was like clockwork every Sunday.
Right.
We're going out the door, and then all of a sudden there's 28 things to do that
mm-hmm.
could have been done earlier,
mm-hmm.
but weren't. So that caused a lot of strife. And she told me that no matter what I was saying, it didn't matter. She had to have her own conviction about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I have, you know, she tells me about the stuff all the time. I have to have my own conviction about it. Sometimes I do. I say I want a clean house, but then I don't really take the steps to do it. And, you know, if you guys could pray about that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And then does anybody here want to share something that they're having issues with? That is an enemy keeping you from really enjoying your relationship with other people and with God?
it should be actually completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I do. I basically, I allow my weariness to kind of put out the fire of my time with God. And that's kind of what most of my week was like last week, is just allowing my, you know, how I'm feeling take away from my devotion to God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, for me, myself, you know, it's something worrying me, but tomorrow, I don't know what. You know, I got a lady, she's very mean. She don't care. I've been with her for 5 years. Never missed a little of pain, but she always wanted to be rewarded by me there. Last year she got me. I gave her $750 and the rent and then $300. But this time, some told me, don't reward her, you're not already paid. You know, but she wanted more. She's 92, and she kind of absent minded. And she's very mean. And I just want you to, you know, I want her to, but right now I just don't want to have no hate for nobody. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, what she doing, it's really somebody might try to. It's an awesome world, and some bad people out there, they ain't gonna take care.
Right.
But anyway, I need to do a prayer over that. When I was young, you know, I don't know what I was capable of doing. You know, she came there, she broke in the house. You know, she did a lot, took my food. She very wicked, and I'm happy that the Father gave me a chance to move out, but she talking about coming in and doing things like taking my stuff, putting it on there, and not that stuff. Why she so mean to me? I stays out of her way, and I pay you, you know, my rent, making sure that, you know, she's satisfied. But, you know, she killed her sister. I read she trying to do me the same. She had took three of my cars, and they was running. Everything she do, I'd be in the hospital. Yeah. And so I don't know. It's not that I'm trying to pay her back or anything. I don't want to do nothing. They're going to really make Jesus angry.
Right.
I really don't. I be wondering and asking why he ain't paying her back and telling me, I know if you got 6 cents, they say, you have 6 cents. Do unto those that do you. But the older people that I talked to, they said, no, just said, look what Jesus had went through. He died on the cross, they did him bad, they just, he suffered. I said, so I'm going to suffer. She said, we all are.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I don't like, but I'm going to go through it. Get away from that.
Appreciate it.
I want a nice home.
We'll pray for you.
Yes,
I need it. Yeah, I didn't know she was just like that. Because I was just laid for 25 years. No problem. I never had nothing. And then I love the country. Oh, I love the country. It's quiet and everything. But anyway, making sure the stuff, you know, I thought she an older lady. She 92. And I've been with her 5 years putting up with things.
Amen.
So,
amen. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't want to, but I want something to be done because I want.
And Acts 20:29 says, I know that after I leave, this is Jesus speaking, savage wolves will come. No, that's Paul. I know that after I leave, where is it, Jesus? Savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Back in L.A., my friend Steve and I baptized this guy. He went through all the studies. You know, the guy was awesome. Very spiritual. Had a really, really sad, poignant story. And all of us were gravitating to him and everything. And he ended up in my Bible talk. And, you know, he might as well have been the leader. Because, you know. And one day, Mike Gross, who was leading the singles, called Steve and I, the other guy who baptized him with me, and told us, hey, he had this brain, something wrong,
aneurysm.
Yeah, something like that. And the truth came out about what was going on. He was scamming us. Everything he told us was an absolute lie. And wow. The church had been giving him money and everything to help. And, you know, the enemy can show up even amongst, you know, the group of believers.
Right.
Now, he was a false believer, it turned out, because, like I said, everything he ever said was a lie. And, you know, I really wanted to strangle him because, you know, I had to go tell all the women in my group, and there's like 22 of them, and they all loved the guy. And they were angry, furious, crying, and everything else, and I just felt terrible for him. And I literally wanted to strangle the guy, but you know, can't do that. So, so it's just, you know, we have to be on our guard at all times.
Yes.
You know, because Satan is, you know, Satan is very powerful. Once again, he will take advantage of us when we're down. Now, what are a couple of things that we can do to guard ourselves?
Right. Being the word.
Yeah.
Stay in the body of Christ, the family of God, because I think when we are isolated, because we're weary or we're busy, or just, you know, we like to be alone.
Yes.
But if God expected us to be lone rangers, he would not have created his church.
Yeah.
We could all just have our individual relationship with him and we wouldn't have to talk to each other. But he expected us to be in community because we need community.
Yes.
And I think, you know, nature is a good example of this. The predators pick off the prey that are away from the herd.
That's right.
You know, they look for the ones that are straying away from the herd. And so we have to be careful not to do that because that's where Satan works.
Yeah, so we have be in your word. Be together with the other group of believers. Denise and I got met with the Normans the other day to talk about, you know, a third issue that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped. And pray. And the Bible says pray continuously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an issue going on or you have some kind of fear or you're getting attacked, don't just pray about it once. You know, pray about it consistently and often. You know, if you have to, dozen times a day.
Another thing is confession.
Yeah.
Because being in the dark is where Satan is able to work.
That's right.
Yep, absolutely. So that concludes this.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Using emotional intelligence, setting healthy boundaries, and also having those uncomfortable conversations. Because sometimes
I will have, I'm a little fuzzy on what emotional intelligence means. You have to forgive me.
Just based off what my knowledge, emotional intelligence is not thinking with your feelings, but being able to comfort those who, and think about others' emotions as well as yours. Control their emotions, don't speak out of emotions. Protect their emotions and think about yours as well and find a compromise.
Okay, no, I appreciate that, thank you. So, anybody else have anything, Richard? Okay. Well, Richard, why don't you pray for the food?
Okay, I'm going to pray for the food, but I'm also going to pray for communion first.